I'm just going to turn again to that passage of scripture we read a little earlier. With God's word open before us, we'll just seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, as we come now to consider thy word, bless thy word, bless thy truth to every heart. We pray for that fresh anointing and infilling of God the Holy Ghost. May thy word tonight be not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of God the Holy Ghost. Save the lost, bless the saints, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen. Now the verse of scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this final drive-in meeting here in the Mark car park is verse number 28 of Acts chapter 26. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now it is indeed a wonderful blessing for any monarch or indeed any ruler to hear the gospel. King Edward VI, the boy king of England, he had that wonderful privilege through the ministry of godly Bishop Latimer of old. Well, Acts chapter 26 is a chapter that tells us of King Agrippa enjoying this same wonderful privilege and through the lips and through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. At this particular point in his life, Paul the Apostle is being tried for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In Acts chapter 24, there you read of Paul in that chapter before Felix, the Roman governor. In Acts chapter 25, you also read of him before Festus, who was another governor. And here in Acts chapter 26, you read of him before a king, Agrippa. And in verse 1 of Acts chapter 26, you see how that verse tells of Agrippa allowing Paul to give his own defense. It's, if you like, a courtroom scene. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself." Now in his defense, Paul the Apostle, he describes his own life before he was saved. He tells how he was indeed a persecutor of the Christians, of the followers of Christ. How he sought to put them in prison and to round them up and even condemn them to death itself. And then in verses 13 to 15 of the chapter, there he tells of his miraculous and mighty conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. This was something that Paul never forgot about. That day that he was saved by the grace of God, that day that he repented of his sins and trusted Christ as his Savior on the road to Damascus. He says in verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." And that day Paul met with the resurrected Christ. That day he repented of his sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And following that in his defense, then Paul tells King Agrippa how God had given him a calling, a great and a glorious calling, that of preaching the gospel, and preaching the message of God's word in particular to the Gentile peoples. No higher calling than all of this earth. He tells the King Agrippa how he was obedient to that call of God in his life. From verse 19 he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." He obeyed the call of God in his life to preach the gospel. And you know, in that, there's a wonderful lesson there to all of us who are saved in this gathering, by the grace of God. Believer, when the Lord calls you to do something, when God gives you something to do, do it speedily. Do not disobey. Do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And God will bless you, and God will use you for his honor and for his glory. Following this, Paul then presents the gospel to Agrippa. He speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his death upon the cross of Calvary. He speaks of his resurrection the third day from the dead. And he tells Agrippa how this was the message of the Old Testament prophets. Indeed, he applies the message of the gospel to Agrippa's heart, to Agrippa's conscience. So much so that the heart of Agrippa is touched. And in verse 28, the words of our text, he says to the Apostle Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He was almost at the point of being saved. But though he was almost persuaded, sadly, he was still a lost sinner, bound for hell. Dear people in this gathering tonight, in the moments that are left, I want you just to think in particular upon these words of King Agrippa to Paul, when he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." There are three things I want us to note here regarding these words and the statement of Agrippa to Paul. You'll notice first of all here how we see Paul's desire for King Agrippa. He says to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Think of those words in particular, "persuadest me." And that really shows you the desire, the burden of Paul for King Agrippa. Paul's desire for Agrippa was that Agrippa would be saved, that he would become a Christian. Indeed, this was the burden and the desire of the Apostle Paul for all whom he met with in life. You'll notice what he says following our text in verse 29 of the chapter. Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am." And dear friend, in our gathering tonight, let me say, this is our desire, our burden, our prayer for you also in this drive-on meeting. Our desire is, as our brother said in his messages and song, that you would be saved, that you would be converted to Christ, that you would become a Christian. If you look there at verse 18 of Acts chapter 26, you'll see there how Paul gives Agrippa a wonderful description of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to be converted. Maybe you've often thought, what is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, in verse 18 there of Acts chapter 26, you have a wonderful description of a born-again Christian before God. In that verse in particular there, Paul is really reiterating what God had said to him regarding his own ministry to the Gentiles, and it really highlights what it means to be a Christian. In verse 18 it says, God says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You notice there those words, to open their eyes. That speaks of the spiritual understanding of man being opened. In other words, a Christian is a person who sees their need spiritually as a lost sinner before Almighty God. Let me say that if you are to be a Christian, you must realize that before God, that you are a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. The Bible says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You notice also there in that verse 18 the words where it says to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And there you see that a Christian is one who repents of his sin. He turns away from his sin and he turns to God. You think of the words of Christ in the Gospel of Luke. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let me say that if you are to be a Christian, you must repent of your sin before God. There must be that turning away from your sin, and that turning unto God. Also notice in that verse 18 the words, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. And that tells you and I that a Christian is one whose sins are forgiven by God, as forgiven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let me say, dear friend, in our gathering, that if you are to be a Christian, then all your sins must be blotted out by the precious blood of Christ shed upon Calvary's cross. You think of what the gospel hymn writer says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your sins can only be blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. Let it make it very clear to you this evening that good works, as good as they are, cannot blot out your sins. Religion, no matter what your religion is, no matter what church you belong to, that cannot blot out your sins. Money, giving to charity, being liberal in your giving to those in need, that cannot blot out your sins before God. Baptism, all the waters of baptism cannot blot out your sins. Confirmation or communion cannot take away your sins before Almighty God. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can hide and blot out your sins from the view of God. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. That means that your sins and my sins can only be put away before God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You'll notice also there in verse 18, notice the words, by faith that is in me. And there you see that a Christian is one who puts his faith, his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, if you are to be a Christian, you must trust Christ as your Savior, or to be your Savior. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Your faith must be in him who died for our sins and rose again. By faith alone you must ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. The Bible says it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And something else to note about a Christian there in that verse 18. Note the words, that they may receive an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That word sanctified really means separated unto God. It means living a holy life. That word inheritance there refers to heaven. Thus a Christian is one who lives for God's glory. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. A Christian is one who's sure of heaven. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. Dear friend, let me say this, that if you are to live for God's glory here on earth, and if you are to be delivered from hell and to be sure of heaven, then you must become a Christian by trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And this is what Paul wanted for King Agrippa. He wanted him to bow the knee and put his trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, that's our desire for you tonight, and I believe it's the desire also of every believer in Christ who's praying for you in this gathering tonight, you who are still unsaved. Our desire for you tonight is that whoever you are, whatever your background is, a desire is that we want to see you rescued from your sin. We want to see you living a life that is right with God and glorifies God. We want to see you saved and having the great and glorious hope of everlasting life and a home in heaven by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful gift that God offers to you tonight freely in the gospel. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, Paul's desire for Agrippa. But notice secondly here the response of Agrippa. For he said to the Apostle Paul in the words of our text, he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Notice that word almost. It tells you something very sad about this man Agrippa. That word almost really shows you that Agrippa had said no to Christ as his Savior up until this very point in time. In other words, he was still not saved. He was still not a Christian. Yes, up until this point in time in his life, he had rejected the gospel. He had rejected God's way of salvation. Indeed, his response is similar to that of Felix, the Roman governor. If you read about in Acts chapter 24, Paul too witnessed to him. And he said to the apostle Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He rejected Christ. He rejected the gospel. Friend, let me ask you tonight the all-important question. The question is this. What is your response to the gospel message tonight? Answer that in your own heart before God in this meeting. Is it like that of this man, King Agrippa? Yes, you have often heard of your need to be saved by faith in Christ, yet you still say no to Christ the Savior. You say, I will not have this man to reign over me. Still not willing to repent of your sin before God and call upon the Lord for salvation. Is that how it is with you this evening? It has rightly been said that God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised it to your procrastination. In other words, if you continue to reject Christ as your Savior, then understand this, you're not a Christian in accordance with the light of God's word and the light of God's truth. It's important to note here that in his decision to reject Christ as Savior, this man, King Agrippa, was influenced by other people. We read of two of those characters back in Acts chapter 25 and the verse number 23. Where it says there in that verse, and on the morrow when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. In that verse, mention is made of a woman by the name of Bernice. Indeed, reliable Bible historians tell us that at this particular point in time, Agrippa was involved in an immoral relationship with this woman. As Agrippa rejected Christ as Savior because he did not want to give up a sinful relationship with this woman by the name of Bernice. Agrippa was a man who loved the darkness of his sin more than the light of God. Also in that verse, mention is made of Festus. And again in Acts chapter 26 and verse 24, you'll see there that he calls Paul a madman. He says, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. There you see how Paul was being scorned for being a Christian. And Agrippa, he saw this and he rejected Christ, for he did not want to be ridiculed or scorned for being a Christian. You see, the Bible says, the fear of man that bringeth a snare. And then there was the Apostle Paul himself. At this particular point in time, Paul was a prisoner in chains for the sake of the gospel. He was suffering as a Christian. Indeed, soon as a Christian, he was to put on the martyr's crown. And Agrippa was all too aware of this. Thus he refused Christ as Savior. Why? Because he did not want to suffer as a Christian. He was not willing to bear the cross for Jesus Christ. many ways he was like Demas. He was a man who loved this present world, indeed the applause of this world. Dear friend, in this gathering, let me ask you the question tonight. Why is it that you're still not saved? Why is it that you're still not a Christian? Why is it that you're still not right with God? Let me ask, are there reasons why Agrippa was not saved? Is that a picture of you in your unsaved state and condition in this gathering tonight? Yes, you know the gospel. You've often heard the gospel. But is it the case that the love of your sin, is that the love that is holding you back from Christ? You're not willing to repent of your sin. The Bible tells you and I that the pleasures of sin, they are only for a season. They are short-lived. Indeed, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard way. Could it also be the case that the fear of man is holding you back from being Christ, becoming a Christian and seeking the Lord? My, yes, you've often thought about being saved and becoming a Christian, yet at the same time, you thought, what will others say? What will others think in my home and my family or neighborhood or workplace? Oh, the fear of man, it bringeth a snare. Yes, the friends of this world, they may laugh you into hell, but they can never laugh you out of hell. Friend, please understand this. Please realize that there's no friendship in this world, no matter what that friendship is, that is more important than the salvation of your never-dying soul. Let me ask also, is it the love for the world that holds you back from Christ? You say, preacher, I'll get saved another time, but I want to taste what the world has to offer. I want to run after the world and all its pleasures and all its charms. You know what the Bible says to you and I about this world? Whenever Christ returns, this world, the Bible tells you and I that it is going to be burned up with fire and brimstone. You and I, we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain that you and I can take nothing out of this world. The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Even if you could gain all the world and all that it could give and all that it could offer you, my, it would not be worth the loss of your soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do not lose your soul for the pleasures, the fleeting pleasures that are only here for a little while of this time and of this world. Yes, we see the response of King Agrippa. One final thought, and it is the end of King Agrippa. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You see, by not becoming a Christian, Agrippa was one who was to forfeit all the blessings of God's so great salvation. In many ways, he was like an ill man who refuses the medicine that can help him and can heal him. Rejecting Christ as a savior, he was saying no to the forgiveness of all of his sins before God. He was saying no to having peace with God. He was saying no to the fetters of sin being broken in his life. He was saying no to fellowship with God. He was saying no to God's provision. He was saying no to God's presence in his life. He was saying no to God's protection. He was saying no in his heart to God's heaven. You see, the Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Instead of the blessing of heaven and refusing Christ as Savior, Agrippa was choosing eternal punishment and hell for his sins. That place of everlasting punishment for the sinner. That place where God pours out his wrath upon the unconverted. The Bible speaks of that place and says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, likewise, dear friend, realize this, by rejecting Christ as Savior, you too are turning your back upon God's heaven. That's what you're doing. Yes, you're turning your back upon God's Son, the only Savior who can do you good. and you're turning your back upon the blessings, those wonderful blessings of God's salvation for time and for all of eternity. I want you to listen carefully to what Christ has to say to those who reject him as Savior. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, he says, "For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, and whether I go, ye cannot come." And there Christ warns you that if you reject him, do not believe in him as Savior and for salvation, you will die in your sins. You will die a lost sinner before God. And he says, "Whether I go, you cannot come." If you die in your sins, there's no place in God's heaven for you. See the awful loss there is in rejecting Christ as Savior. You know, in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we can say that this man Agrippa was committing the unpardonable sin. You see, there is no hope for anyone who rejects the blood of Christ as the only remedy for their sin. In the book of Hebrews it says, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and a holy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Those are solemn words. Dear friend, if you deliberately turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and refuse him as Savior, then you too are committing the unpardonable sin. You're trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. Also, in spurning the gospel, this man Agrippa, he was increasing the guilt of his sin before God. You see, he had this great privilege of hearing the gospel from the lips of the Apostle Paul, that great preacher and missionary and evangelist of the New Testament. Likewise, if you turn away from Christ as Savior after having heard the gospel, maybe tonight and maybe many, many other times in your life, you too are but increasing the guilt of your sin before God. Your punishment in hell will be far worse than those who have had less gospel privileges than you. You see, the Bible says it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Also, in rejecting Christ as Savior at this time in his life, Agrippa was to do so for the last time. For after Acts chapter 26, God has nothing more to say about this man. There is silence from God in this man. He disappears from off the stage of Holy Scripture. You see, when he rejected Christ that day before Paul, God was finished with this man, Agrippa. And Agrippa was left to perish in his sin. Yes, when Agrippa was before Paul, this was his last opportunity to get saved and get right with God. And sadly, Agrippa, he wasted that opportunity. Oh, dear unsaved friend in our gathering tonight, heed the warning here from this man, Agrippa. I don't know, only God knows. But maybe tonight could be your last opportunity to get saved. Indeed, to get right with God. Yes, before this night is over, your soul could be ushered out into God's eternity. Indeed, the Bible says there is but a step between us and death. The Bible describes your life and my life like a vapor that is here one moment and gone the next. The Bible says, "He that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and not without remedy." Oh, death, yes, can come very, very swiftly, without a moment's notice, without a moment's warning. And when it comes, unsaved friend in our gathering realizes every opportunity for you to be saved and get right with God will be gone and gone forever. There'll be no coming back. There'll be no second chances. There'll be no second opportunities. Also in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, God says there, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." That's a solemn statement. The time will come, yes, when God will speak no more. What if God were to stop speaking to you after tonight? Friend, if God should stop speaking to you, then you've no hope of heaven. I tell you this, you've no hope of salvation if God should cease to speak to your soul after this night. The Old Testament book of 1 Samuel read about King Saul. Saul was a man that God spoke to on many occasions. But then there was a time came when God would speak no more to King Saul. The Bible says this about King Saul. It says, the Spirit of God departed from him. What a solemn statement. Yes, the Spirit of God was upon King David because he was a saved man. He knew the Lord. He trusted the Lord. But it says the Spirit of God departed from King Saul. And God never spoke again to King Saul, a man who had heard the message of God and the Word of God on many, many occasions through the prophet of God, Samuel of old. Yet he turned away from obeying the voice of the Lord. You know, there are multitudes of lost souls in hell tonight, and it is because they would not listen to God. They refused the gospel. They rejected Christ as Savior. Instead, they listened to the world, the voice of self, the voice of unbelief, the voice of the devil himself. Oh, man, woman, young person, boys and girls unsaved in this gathering, do not make the same mistake. Listen tonight to the word of God. The Lord speaks to your soul and he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's the Lord's invitation personally for you to come now to him. Trust him as Savior. Know the pardon, the forgiveness of all of your sin, the salvation of your soul, and God's great hope of everlasting life and a home in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, what are you going to do this evening with the Lord Jesus Christ? That day was decision day for King Agrippa. He said to Paul, he was almost persuaded. He'd heard the gospel, he'd heard the word of God. Yes, there had been a stirring to a degree in his heart and his soul. He turned away from the Lord, turned away from Christ. Friend, don't you be like that. Don't leave this meeting tonight almost persuaded. Rather, flee to Christ. Make sure you're saved. The Bible says you and I are to make our calling and election sure. Make sure you're ready for heaven, that if death should come tonight, that your soul would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That you'd be saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Christ gives you a wonderful promise. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Christ has never turned away a seeking sinner yet, and he never will. Oh, come to him, trust him. Know the joy of sins forgiven, the blessing of God's salvation, the great assurance of everlasting life and a home in God's heaven. We're going to conclude our meeting tonight by singing together the final.